Good morning. Thanks Paul and thanks for the musicians this morning. And nice to have each one of you here this morning. And especially if you are visiting, we want to give you a hearty welcome this morning to Bethel Gospel Chapel. If you are here for the first time, and we want to welcome you too. If you have a bulletin, we are going to be talking about God's Word. On the back of this bulletin, as I said before, Sonia Idema is making the bulletin. She always does a very good job because today she put the entire passage here. So you don't have to even open your Bible because you can read it from here. And she has a little explanation what this passage is all about. And so even if you forget everything what I had to say this morning, take this one with you. You will have a little understanding what we're going to be talking about. There was a senior pastor who was asked to teach a Sunday school class one morning. And they were going through the book of Joshua. And the pastor started to talk to the class. And so he thought he will ask some questions for the children in the Sunday school. So he asked, "Who destroyed the walls of Jericho?" And one little boy in the back, he stood and he said, "I didn't do it." So the pastor was a little surprised. So he asked the Sunday school teacher, is this typical? And the Sunday school teacher said, "This boy is a very nice boy, usually. I don't think he is capable of doing anything like that. And I don't think he did it. So then the pastor was a little more concerned because the Sunday school kid doesn't know and the teacher doesn't know. So he called a little emergency meeting of the deacons. "Okay, let's ask them what was going on." So the board of deacons gathered together. Every one of them said, "We know this teacher very well. And we know this boy very well. I don't think none of them is capable of destroying the wall. That boy is well behaved." So the pastor was a little surprised. So finally, the chairman of the board of deacons said, "Pastor, let's forget about everything. Find out how much is going to repair this wall and we will pay for it." Sometimes that's how much we know about the Word of God. This passage that we're going to look at it from, okay, we're going to look at Psalm 119 and verses 121 to 128. What we find in this passage is the delights of God's Word or God's law. So this is what we see is here, what we find, the different words that we used, God's Word. And because of the short passage that we have, find out what the Scripture has to say to us about God's Word. So in other words, the Scripture always brings before us the delights of God's Word. So in other words, a call to God and a confession to God and commitment to God, and also a concern and conclusion and the contrast of God's word that we find here. So biblical education is the process by which godly character is formed, and a strength of clear conscience and sound mind is amplified, and understanding is sharpened. As a result, one can walk in divine wisdom. So we're going to look at delights of God's law, that I may behold wondrous things of thy law. Where I found the truth, there I found my God, who is the truth itself. So when we look at the word of God, it reminds us of what God has to say to each one of us. So we're going to look at the delights of God's law. Biblical education is the process by which godly character is formed, and strength of clear and conscious and sound mind is amplified, and understanding is sharpened. As a result, one can walk in divine wisdom. The psalmist says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book, and it contains a series of 8-line meditations based on each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each fresh word from God reveals not just the information about its author, referring to the scriptures. So there is the French philosopher Blaise Pascal. Someone said to him, if I had your brains, I would be a better person. And he replied, be a better person and you will have my brains. Saint Augustine said this, where I found the truth, there found I my God, who is the truth itself. So this morning, as we look at this passage, delights of God's law. So here is 8 different Hebrew synonyms used in referring to the scripture. And that is the word, the general term for any from divine revelation. And the other one is the Torah, the law, teaching and indicating a single command, the book of Moses of all scripture. And the third one is precepts, detailed instruction given by God as a guardian of his people. And fourthly, binding laws engraved on a permanent record, that is the statutes. And the ordinances, judgments made by God containing God's judgment concerning man's rights and duties. And the next one is the commandments, orders given by a competent authority, that is from God. Other one that we used in Psalm 119 is the testimonies of the Lord. Not only the commandments, but the testimonies, vivid and unmistakable witnesses to man of God's will. And the next one is the promise, a term of often translated word, and suggesting the trustworthiness of divine truth. So what we see here is the terms that he used in the Psalms. The promise is often translated word suggesting the trustworthiness of divine truth in any form. So in other words, it is God's truth and it's God's righteousness. Together these words form a clear picture of the scripture. The promise is divided into two, and one is God's truth and the other one is God's righteousness. They are God's authoritative word in which we can have complete confidence and through which we learn to trust God and to live a life characterized by godliness. At least five reasons for giving thanks to God, that they are His word, His works, His will, His wonders, and His ways. And that is what, as we go through Psalm 119, that we find in the law of the Lord or God's word. So Psalm 119, as we're going through, 19 is the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. It's divided into 22 sections and of the Hebrew alphabet, and each section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this chapter 119 exalts and praises the word of God. The greatest feature of this psalm is that it brings a tribute to the law of God, or in other words, the word of God. That's what Bill Jackson said. 10 words, as we looked at it before, is used in chapter to describe God's word. And one is testimonies. To bear witness or testimony, they are styled testimonies because they are solemnly declared to the world. That's what, when we take scriptures, that's what we doing. When we read and when we speak, we proclaim to the world what God has to say to humanity. And blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That is the promise of God for each one of us when we look into the precious word of God. And the second word used is commandments. To command, order or ordain. God's commandments are given with authority and lodge with us a trust. The commands will tell us what to do and what not to do. And that's the purpose of that of God's word, as we've been looking at the last few weeks. And the third one is God's word and law. They provide boundaries for humanity or human beings for of obedience. And it's just like a chart that God has given unto human beings. And the psalmist says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous, and they are also true." And remember, the Lord Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And what did He say? He said, "Thy word is truth." These are truth that you and I can take and declare and proclaim to anyone. That's what Psalm 119 and 172 declares to us. And the third one is, it's used in 119, is precepts, and that is directive, order, guide, like a prescription, if you like. So God's word give us a little prescription for each one of our lives day by day, and that's why this is very important. These precepts are God's rules which have been prescribed to each one of us. What a delight is yours and mine as we go through the scriptures and read. I don't know about you, I get excited when I look into scriptures and find out what God has to say to you and me every day when we open the scriptures. Psalm 119 and 104 says, through thy precept I get understanding. Otherwise, just like the scripture says, all we have gone astray like a sheep. We have our own ways. And yet, God sent his son to save us from sin. I hate every false way. And the fourth word is used is the word. And we often hear that the word of God proclaimed from pulpits, from others, from God's servants. That means to disclose, utter one's sentiments, feelings or thoughts, speak intelligently. This is a favorite word of the inspired writers to refer to all of the inspired revelation, the Bible. And that is God's word. There are many books out there in the world, the religious book. But if you are a really interested student in the word of God, you read this book and you read the other writings of what they call the so-called men of the world, you will see the difference that this book is all inspired by God. And the Apostle Peter reminds his readers, he says here, no prophecy came in the old times by private interpretation. They were given to us when the Holy Spirit moved these people to write what God has to say to each one of us. And because of that, the psalmist says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And that is why it is important for each one of us to understand what God has to say to us. And the fifth word that used in this psalm is the law. The law is, as it says, is to direct us, to guide us, to teach us, make us straight, or even to the point to forward. And God's law shows us what is right and wrong. And it also encourages each one of us to do the right thing. And if it is, you know, like sometimes you look at people and their behavior and you just ever shake your head and say, why these people are doing this? Because you know what? They have no knowledge of the law of God. Almost like sometimes people behave like animals without any intelligence, without any wisdom. And you can tell, scripture guides us and leads us in God's ways. Psalm 119 and 142, the psalmist says, Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. By the way, out of the 176 verses in this chapter, there is only two or three that does not contain the word of God or any of these. And that is, one of them is in our passage this morning, and that is, I have done judgment and justice, leave me not to mine oppressors. And verse 22 says, be surety for thy servant for good, let not the proud oppress me. And the other one is verse 90. It says here, thy faithfulness is unto all generation, thou hast established the earth and it abideth. And the third one is 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful to me, as thou usest to do thee unto those that love thy name. All the other verses are described to each one of us. Somewhere it contains all these words. And the sixthly, it says about the way. And what does that mean? The way means to proceed, to go on, walk, tread. The ways of God point to His providence over us and to our obedient response to the way of life He wants us to follow. And that's why God has given all these things to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that is why it is important, when we read the scriptures, we know that it is not man's opinion, it's not his idea to begin with, but it is from God. You know why? Because He is the Creator. He made us. He knows what we need. All the wisdom of the world, they come up with all these ideas, and yet it is only worldly wisdom. And some have, you know, more knowledge than others. And yet, God has the perfect knowledge. He is the Creator of human beings. He knows what we need. He knows how we behave. And that's why it is important to understand God's laws. 119 and verse 30, it says, I have chosen the way of truth, thy judgment have I laid before me. And the seventh is the truth, to make steady, constant, to settle, to trust, to believe. God's truth may be accepted in all confidence because He cannot lie. Titus, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Titus, he says, God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life to us. And God's word is truth. And the attitude that you and I should have is, the Bible said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Psalmist says, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. The eighth word that Psalmist uses, judgments, to judge, to determine, to regulate, order, or to discern. They are called judgments because by them we must both judge and be judged. God's words also direct us. They help us to determine right over wrong. Psalm 119 and verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Number 9 is righteousness. That means to do justice, to give full weight. And to be righteous, we must give to God His due, and to others their due as well. And the psalmist says in 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. And that is why it's good to rehearse the scriptures. And finally, the psalmist used the word statutes to mark, to trace out, to describe and ordain. In God's statutes, we have marked out for us the direction of our journey, the manner of life we are to live is clearly described. So what is the conclusion? Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Our heart, our strength, our might, and it'll be true-hearted and whole-hearted. The title of this section is taken by a song by Francis, an English hymn writer, Take My Life, and I mean we sometimes sing that hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Serving God with all our heart, 119 is a clear call for the true in heart and the whole in heart to serve God. Psalmist also described to us, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. With my whole heart I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. The proud have forced a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. So the human heart consists of the heart in these verses refers to the heart of man. The heart consists of man's intellect, his emotions, willpower, and conscience. And the security of our hearts. How? How shall the young man secure? How shall the young secure their hearts? His very word of grace is strong. And Isaac Watts wrote that hymn. And the famous words that we memorize is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word, with my whole heart I have sought thee. So this morning, the important thing is, of the word of God is, it always protects us against evil and sin. So the psalmist says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. That is the key to the whole psalm and the word of God this morning. If you didn't get anything else, please remember this. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. The examples of keeping his word, the following people from the Bible, if you go through, kept their way clean by heeding the word of God. Joseph in the Old Testament, Daniel, and the Lord Jesus. And we see the value and the worth of God's word. Verse 11 pictures us for the greatest thing in this world, God's word, hidden in the greatest human vessel, that is men's heart, producing the greatest fruit, that is not sinning against God. If you want to be under control, or God's control, here is God's formula for all, young and old, and all in between, to secure their hearts. Briefly, I just want to show you what I had before. The 10 words that used in here. So what are some practical applications the psalmist apply in his daily life? He says, activate the sensible supplication. He has an understanding who God is, and he knows who he is, and this rings to him a respond and request with a special kind of humility. When we understand who we are, when we understand who God is, that brings us to our knees, isn't it? A humility. Not only activate a sensible supplication, but it also appeals for security from God. Thirdly, it's accept a surety from God. It's also refers to a guarantee that God has promised each one of us. And the psalmist awaits salvation from God. He prays as a submissive servant. Verse 124 to 125. We see also his pity, his perception. I am thy servant. His relationship with God. And that's what we should all have, the personal relationship, not a religion, but a relationship with the living God. And he says, I am your servant. He makes a significant statement, and he says, it is time for, you know, we read the last couple of verses, we almost wonder. The psalmist says, against God and his precepts. It's almost like he's asking God to punish them, and yet it was time for God to act, or the rapture, ruin, and revival. Also, almost the psalmist's heart is, but that's not what he is really saying in his heart. He just say, God, you are the most high and respected of all. So the key to human life that the psalmist is saying is treasure of God's word and the truth of God's word. And all believers, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior and you are a Christian, the greatest treasure at your disposal is God's word. We cannot go into all the details. Remember this, the psalmist is, this is a continuous prayer to the Lord. He still has vengeful and persistent enemies around him in hot pursuit. But the psalmist understands the comprehension of God's word, and he is calling to God for injustice, for the improvement, the insulation, and the impediments of life. And then he is making confession to God and a commitment to God, and which also seems to be like a complaint, but he is requesting God to intervene in the affairs of humanity. We see also his concern, his conclusions. And so in verse 128, this is what he says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So as we look at into this psalm, I hope you got some of this, that what the psalmist, what the word of God is, has to say to each one of us. Because the time is short, we cannot go into much of the details, and I hope this will give some understanding what God has to say to us through his precious word. And the important thing is, as we mentioned, it is the salvation of humanity, and his precepts, his judgments, his laws, his word is given to us for guidance. And just like it says there, Bible is the full form, if we say, it is the basic instructions before leaving earth. Remember that. That is what is Bible is all about. So this morning, I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to your hearts this morning to continue to praise God and thank him for who he is and what he has done in the person of his son. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our God and our Father, we thank thee again for thy precious word this morning. We thank thee for the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, who came to this scene in this cursed world that we might be redeemed. We thank thee for the precepts, the laws, the word, the commandments, the judgments of God given to each one of us for guidance. May thy Holy Spirit help each one of us to not only hearers of the word but doers also. So we ask thy richest blessing upon each one who is present here this morning. We remember those who are not with us and ask thy blessing upon them too, wherever they are. So Father, this morning we commend ourselves to thee and the word of thy grace, asking thy richest blessing upon each one, for we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.